It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Consider this report an experiment that may help to answer a big question about immigration. The question gets asked a lot as Congress debates immigration rules. And this is the question. If you really crack down on illegal immigrants and they vanish from the workforce, who would do their jobs? Still more, Georgia is looking for an answer. Last year, authorities cracked down on illegal immigrants there, and a poultry processing plant lost two-thirds of its workers. Of course, the Kreider plant wanted to stay open, so NPR's Jennifer Ludden is tracking what happened next. She's in our studios. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, consider this a case history then. Where is this plant finding workers after the illegals went away?
Well, very quickly, Kreider staged an aggressive series of job fairs. They offered transportation to some people. We're talking about a very rural area, and some people were recruited from quite a distance away. The plant also contracted with Georgia's Department of Corrections. It brought in inmates on its production line. And in this unusual move, the officials there reached out to the people we'll hear from this morning.
Who were they?
Hmong refugees in Minnesota. Now, apparently someone at the plant had lived there and knew about this population. So today, there are about two dozen Southeast Asian immigrants living in this swath of rural Georgia. And I found them at a place that's become something of a refuge for them down there, the Peking Super Chinese Buffet.
Water? Iced tea.
The spread features Southern-style overcooked vegetables and pizza next to the dumplings. Dao Mua says it's the closest he can find to home-style food, but even the Chinese lady who works here had no idea where the Hmong people were from. Mua explained, and he told her,
"You will see me more often. I will come here pretty much every day, and you will see and you will know me from now on."
As two families chat at a back table, Mua says he's used to explaining himself. He came to America in 1979 after the U.S. granted refugee status to thousands of ethnic Hmong in Laos. They'd helped the CIA against the North Vietnamese. Nearly three decades later, Mua was an employment specialist at a Hmong American Association in Minneapolis when he got the call from Kreider Poultry Plant. It turned out he'd already made up his mind to retire somewhere warmer. And though there appear to be no other Hmong in this part of southern Georgia, Mua took a liking to the place.
I love it. It's not much different from Laos. The weather is very close, and the grass, the trees, you know, they have bamboo.
Bamboo plants may be comforting, but daily life is lonely. Even the group's favorite Chinese restaurant is 20 miles away from the place they live and work. I'm standing in the middle of Stillmore, which is a highway with the blinking yellow light. There's a fire department, a town hall, which looks closed, a couple of gas stations. And I'm right in front of a Mexican food store, which I'm told is still open, although it's closed right now in the middle of the day.
Antes de la redada, la gente caminaba por las calles.
Baptist pastor Ariel Rodriguez says this small strip used to bustle with the Mexican workers from the town's poultry plant, but since the immigration raid, Rodriguez says it's dead. He's tried to help the few dozen Hispanics who've stayed around.
Los dueños propietarios de los negocios. Sí, todavía hay un poco de temor entre ellos.
The employers around here are still afraid of hiring Hispanics. They're afraid that immigration agents will come back, the workers are going to disappear, and they'll have to pay fines.
Officials at Kreider Poultry declined to give an interview or offer any information about plant productivity or their efforts to fill the jobs left vacant last year. Back at the Peking Buffet restaurant, Dao Mua's wife, Tong, says when the family moved down in February, they rented the largest trailer U-Haul had. She stocked up on Asian spices and jasmine rice, lots of it.
More than 500 pounds.
500 pounds of jasmine rice?
Mm-hmm.
Tong works at the plant checking labels on cans of chicken. She's taken homemade egg rolls to work and says her colleagues are friendly. She's even trying to pick up on the local southern drawl.
I say, see y'all another day. My my daughter, Pania, she said, Mom, you said right.
Dao Mua is recruiting more Hmong, and in recent weeks, two families moved from California. Wang Sung helps operate a machine that plucks feathers from chickens. As he eats, Sung says he's eager to build a new community here in Georgia, but misses the large Hmong population he left.
All my friends, my community, the Lao veteran, and I was the leader of one group, but I just threw them away.
Sung's 24-year-old son, Fong, sits sullenly. He says the work on the production line is hard, but worse, this place is boring.
There's nothing to do here, around here. I play basketball sometimes. That's all I do, play basketball or watch movies and stuff.
Not everyone in the Hmong community supports this new venture. One activist in Wisconsin worries his fellow Hmong will be taken advantage of, like he believes was the case with the illegal Mexican workers they replaced. Economically, Dao Mua says it's a wash. The pay's lower in Georgia, but so's the cost of living. He says he doesn't push anyone to come.
This kind of company, somebody like it, somebody don't like it. It's not fit for everybody.
Mua hopes more Hmong families will move down once the school year's over. Then, he says, they could get someone to open a decent Asian food store. But long-term success will depend on the younger generation.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not a big city guy. I'm more like on the countryside guy where it's quiet.
22-year-old Tung Mua has gelled hair and wears a Bluetooth phone headset when he drives. He sits by a water fountain in the main square of Swainsboro, the largest nearby town, a place he rarely ventures save to go to the 24-hour coin laundry. Life here so far, for Tong and his brother, is long hours at work and cooking for themselves. Both have wives and children back in Minnesota.
It is a big move, but guys, sometimes in life I have to take the risk in order to find out the result.
Tong's family is waiting for word from him. If he likes the job at the processing plant and life in Georgia, they say they'll all join him, even Tong's father. So, will he tell them to come?
That I can't say, because I don't know yet, because I've just been here for 3 months.
Like so many immigrants before him and so many Americans, Tung Mua and the others are taking a gamble for a better future.
We've been listening to NPR's Jennifer Ludden. She's reporting on a poultry processing plant that lost most of its workforce after a crackdown on illegal immigrants, and the replacement workers included other immigrants. A story that matters because lawmakers are asking what a serious crackdown on illegal immigration would do in this country. And Jennifer, what do they learn from real life experiences like this?
I think they're hearing from businesses how hard it is to fill jobs after an immigration raid. There's another meat processor, Swift & Company, that recently announced it had finally filled more than 1,000 jobs left vacant by immigration raids at 6 of its plants in December. Now, this was touted in some quarters as proof Americans are willing to do these jobs. But I spoke with a Swift official who said that the turnover rate has also gone up. So this plant has found legal workers, but some are not staying for long.
Okay, NPR's Jennifer Ludden, thanks very much.
Thank you.